Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, and here's a story that begins pretty far from home. On January 9th, the people of southern Sudan will vote on a landmark referendum, whether to secede from the north and become their own independent country. The week-long election will be monitored by the United Nations, but human rights activists are worried that the voting will ignite another round of genocide in Sudan. Enter actor George Clooney, who's been a vocal advocate for the southern Sudanese people. And he got the idea that if he couldn't stop a violent crackdown from the north, he could at least get it on tape. An act which in itself could maybe prevent the violence in the first place. It's called the Satellite Sentinel Project, and here's an excerpt from the group's video.
The situation north-south is a ticking time bomb of enormous consequence.
This time, the north is armed more, and now the south is armed more.
Now, Clooney's idea is to raise a lot of money to rent time on photographic satellites. Google will help map the results, and a website offering up-to-date satellite imagery of southern Sudan goes live today. But who's actually going to look through the zillions of photos and figure out if a genocide is taking place? That's not George Clooney's job. No, the task will fall, as so many important and complicated tasks often do, to some smart people across the river in Cambridge. And we're joined in the studio right now by Charlie Clements. He's the executive director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard. Welcome, Charlie.
Hi, Adam. Glad to be here.
Sure. Give us, if you can, a super quick review of the conflict in Sudan and why the South is considering secession.
Well, there was a 20-year civil war in which more than 2 million people had died that ended with a comprehensive peace agreement in 2005. That did provide, as you mentioned, for a referendum 6 years later. And the violence is probably going to be about resources, because if the South secedes, two-thirds of the known oil reserves of Sudan will go to the South.
Ultimately, this is one and the same with the Darfur conflict that everyone has heard about, right?
Well, it's in the same country, and the tactics that were used against the South for many years have been used in western Sudan and the Darfur as well.
Okay, all right. Has violence already escalated in the region in the run-up to the referendum?
Violence has already begun. We've seen a couple of villages that have been bombed. We just got some reports off the satellites recently about a couple of villages where it looks like violence is happening. Refugees are being seen moving.
We should mention, Charlie Clements, that if your name sounds familiar to our listeners, it's because you were the subject of the very big documentary Witness to War in the 80s, which was about your transition from an Air Force pilot in Vietnam to the kind of stuff you do now, so you know war. Tell us a little bit more about this monitoring project and how exactly it's going to work.
Well, it's the first time that there's been a combination of almost real-time satellite technology, meaning 18 to 36 hours, combined with on-the-ground reports, what we call crowdsourced information, eyewitnesses uploading information in cell phones, uploading photographs, in which the imagery from the satellites can be contextualized by accounts right on the ground. And then that information will map onto a Google website that will really tell people and allow them to act on that information, either by influencing policymakers or getting humanitarian organizations in place in terms of if there are refugees moving, or helping, reporters or even election monitors move to places where there is trouble brewing.
We're talking about still photography here, right?
Yes.
How much can you tell from that?
Well, if you have several sources, you can tell quite a bit. And there may be the possibility that some people, if they had the bandwidth, could actually upload some clips from a cell phone that was moving photography. But you can tell a lot from still photos if you have the context. This is going to be GPS located data, so we'll know where the people took the images from or where the reports are coming from.
How will you begin to sift through it?
Well, that's the task of the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative, and we have a team that will be analyzing that data. We also have some backup capacity in case there's a surge of information, but it will take a lot of work to—
It's really a human process? You just got to look at stuff?
That's right.
Wow. Has this kind of technology ever been used before?
Well, it has been used before. It's been used really in humanitarian crises like Haiti to try to figure out where refugees were going, where supplies were located, where humanitarian workers were to try to coordinate relief efforts better. But it has never been used in this kind of deterrence mode. And if the deterrence fails, then we will document possible crimes against humanity and hope to hold the perpetrators accountable. And hopefully that will be part of the deterrence, that they know the world is watching.
I don't mean to harp on the human challenge of this task. It just seems very incredible to me. So you look at this imagery. What are you looking for? What tips you off that this of the 10,000 photos you just looked at is one that demands your attention?
Well, for instance, a satellite might tell us that 60 trucks have pulled into a village. We don't know if those trucks could be World Food Program trucks that are carrying very badly needed supplies, or they could be army trucks carrying soldiers. But the satellite imagery can't tell us that. But the crowdsource imagery taken from the ground by people in the field can tell us and give us that information. That could be used in a number of ways.
Can you think of some other examples of how this technology might be used in the future in other parts of the world?
Well, I think that there are already people asking if we might be able to use it in several places, like in the Ivory Coast right now, where there's a lot of trouble going on the ground in terms of domestic turmoil. I think any place where there's civil unrest, where there's the likelihood of people being displaced, of mass violence, I think this technology could be useful.
You mentioned that you're hoping this project will have a deterrent effect on any violence in Sudan when this referendum takes place. George Clooney, the founder of the project, the funder, I should say, and the founder, I guess, said, here's what he said. This is as if it were 1943 and we had a camera inside of Auschwitz and we said, okay, if you guys don't want to do anything about it, that's one thing. But you can't say you didn't know. Now, arguably, we did know about the gas chambers, right? So does knowing necessarily mean that action will be taken?
Well, I think that the public didn't know. The information was there, but certainly policy leaders did know. But I think that part of our hope is that if the public had created an uproar around Rwanda, maybe President Clinton would have acted. That the public can influence policymakers to do the right thing. But sometimes policymakers waffle, and we hope that we're going to provide the tipping point.
And the public can go online and see this website? Is
Absolutely.
It live today?
Sentinel.org.
All right. Charlie Clements is Executive Director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard. Charlie, good luck.
Thank you, Adam.
Stay with us. Coming up after a short break, from Scott Brown's surprising election to Deval Patrick's re-election, we'll examine the year in politics with our political watchers, Susan Tracy and Jack Clancy. It's good to have them back. I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.